What is up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to the Fathom Beyond Sunday podcast. This podcast is meant to be really conversational and casual, just a couple of leaders here at Fathom talking about faith and life and talking about how we can grow in our faith where it's really going on Monday through Saturday and not just on Sunday. So tune in, listen to the conversation, and open your heart. We pray that this really helps.
Well, 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 look who decided to make it to episode 4 of the Fathom Beyond Sunday podcast in our series called Out of Context.
Context.
That's Christina Scott, who's always willing and ready to correct me.
Wow. Or. Wow. This is not the relationship you think it is, guys.
Oh, boy. Well, I digress. We're excited for this last episode. She can't contain herself.
Right now, I really wish this was a video podcast. I've never said that before, ever.
No, you have not.
But this one time, I wish this was a video podcast so that you all could have seen my eyes grow and my laughter when I doubled over.
Today, we're talking about two that really don't have a ton to do with each other. Of all of them, most of them have kind of really had fluidity.
These are the also rans.
Yeah, we're not gonna force it and be like, yeah, these are connected.
These definitely go together.
They're really not. But some of them do connect to other things we've been talking about in other episodes, and so that's cool.
And all scripture is God breathed, and we are going back to scripture
for sure.
We've got a couple of scriptures today that we're going to talk about and how they are taken out of context or how they are abbreviated and made to say something that scripture doesn't say.
So the first one actually is just a couple of words that get, once again, truncated. You guys know what that means, truncated? It's like a math term. I'm not a math nerd, but I know what truncated means. It means like you just cut off the rest of the numbers because you don't really need them. Well, sometimes we do that with scripture. We just throw out a couple of words and be like, oh, who needs them? And they actually matter.
But it's funny because Jesus does that sometimes in his speaking. He starts the beginning of something knowing that the people he's talking to are going to know the rest of those verses and the rest of that context. What happens in America, we're not Jesus.
Right.
And we're not talking to the same group of people.
Right.
And so, yes, we think in our brains like, oh, we can just say this and I can leave out one of these premises because somebody is going to just naturally come to the conclusion I want them to because they're smart.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
Well, and as we mature in our understanding and grow in our understanding of scripture, sometimes that can happen and someone can do it. And you just have to go there and you know the context of it and you know, work it out, and you don't have to like get up and be like, you misquoted that.
You missed two words.
Yeah, you missed two words. So we're looking at money is the root of all evil. That's what gets said all the time. Money is the root of all evil, but that's not the scripture, and that's the context is actually important.
And I think that one, so that's money is the root of all evil is that first one. The second one is judge not. Now the rest of that is lest ye be judged, but judge not. It's interesting. Money is the root of all evil is one more commonly said, I think, in the church than in the world because the world loves cash.
Greed is good. Well, what movie was that? Wall Street? Was that Wall Street?
I don't know.
I think it was. Movie. Gordon Gekko. You ever heard that name?
Anyway. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No, I really have heard that name, but I haven't watched that movie. But the idea that money is the root of all evil would not come from our society.
Yeah.
It wouldn't come from any like cultivated society.
Yeah.
From any age at any point that we have historical context. Nobody said money is bad. That's actually how most of the world got found was people were looking for more money.
Yeah. So what's missing from money is the root of all evil? Well, first of all, the scripture is actually the love of all For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's mm-hmm. a root, and all kinds of evil is how my translation interprets that. So it gets misunderstood a little bit in the way that often gets phrased. So there's love of money, and then there's money. Money in itself is not bad. Money is often used for a lot of good, to feed your family.
Sure.
It's used for lots of good to feed the poor. But it's the love of all of money as a root of all kinds of people. There's all kinds of things that come from that. So that's the scripture. And then the rest of the verse is some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Yeah. It's really a warning, right?
Yeah. That we just recently, if you were part of our scripture reading group, we talked about like no man can serve two masters mm-hmm. and these different things. Like we've gone through a lot of different scripture, but like this idea that we can love money and also love God with our whole heart, those are incongruent. There's another math term for you. It's incongruent. Like if we have a sincere love for money, then it is going to reflect insincerity in our love for God. But if we're loving God with our whole entire heart, if that's what we're doing, we're seeking after him and we love him completely, then money, it's not that money doesn't factor into our life. It's that we are not consumed by the next thing we can consume.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. If we zoom back just a little bit and go just a handful of verses before, there's some false teachers that are going around, and Paul is saying to Timothy, hey, like we need to stick to the Word of God. We need to stick to godly teaching. Some of these folks preaching this other stuff, they've gotten confused. They don't have an understanding. And what verse 5 says, they've been robbed of the truth, and they think that godliness is a means to financial gain. That somehow doing all this is about we can get more out of it, but godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm-hmm.
So godliness is not to lead, it's not so that we get more financial gain, it's so that we can have contentment. That's the real gain.
I think that it is so interesting that like God does bless people who are faithful to him. And sometimes that blessing looks like a financial gain, but then the twistedness of humanity is how can I monetize my love for God?
Yeah.
The twistedness of humanity is I see that and I want that thing, right? I want that house. I want that flock of sheep. I want that because like in looking in the time of First Timothy, like I want that. I want to have a harem of wives or whatever it might be, and not like what actually makes those people different that God is blessing. Mm-hmm. And that is the relationship that that we have with him that is the true blessing. And then these other things just sort of end up coming along with it sometimes.
And once again, contentment is a theme. It was a mm-hmm. theme in a previous episode of the Philippians 4:13 passage.
Right.
Godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7 and 8, like, for we brought nothing to this world. We can't take anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation, a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. How many times have we seen that take place? Just chasing after it, and then it falls apart. For the love of money, it's a root of all kinds of evil. He's basically saying, like, we've seen where this ends. Don't follow these crackerjacks who, mm-hmm. like, think that godliness is going to lead to financial gain. Don't be all about the Benjamins, as Puff Daddy said. Like,
right.
There's more to life. Like, godliness with contentment is the great gain that God's people are after.
Yeah, and it's to be known, you know, that when this letter is written, this is on the other side of seeing what Judas did for 30 pieces of silver and how he felt about that immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
So there are all kinds of evil that the love of money will like will snare us into and trap us into.
I wonder if while Paul's writing this to Timothy, he's thinking about those folks in Timothy's world, these false teachers, but I wonder if Judas crosses his mind in that as well. So let's look at the second part of this that, again, we're not trying to merge these together.
Right. No.
But there is a kind of a truncated way in the way that they get used. Judge not. Don't judge me.
Don't judge me.
Yeah, you said before we started recording, if I had a nickel for every time, or if I had a tally mark, how many times people have said, don't judge me?
Like, just in the last month, I have had, and these are people I'm around all the time. It's not people, it's not strangers.
Yeah.
These are people I'm around all the time. Don't judge me, but ...
I'm going to do this. Yeah, or like, this is what I'm thinking, or yeah.
Right.
Like, I'm going to have another donut.
I will just say, like, if I didn't know myself and other people pretty well, I would be like, that could be, I would be offended at how many times people say, don't judge me.
Do you think I'm going to judge you? Right? Yeah.
But Matthew 7, verse 1 doesn't say just judge not, period.
Yeah.
It's judge not, comma, that you not be that you be not judged. Judge not, lest you be judged. I think that's like a very KJV, but that's for sure what I grew up memorizing.
Yeah.
So judge not, lest you be judged.
For in the same way you judge others, you're going to be judged with the measure you use. It will be measured to you. So when you hear that, like verse 2, that part, it's like, well, what kind of measure do I want to be judged with?
Yeah. Well, and the war that we wage against sin and against our flesh is being waged in the heavenlies. So it, what are we opening up ourselves to and inviting upon ourselves when we are judging with harshness a snapshot of someone else's life?
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. I mean, it goes on verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? The scripture that comes to my mind is Romans 3:23, all fall short of the glory of God, because we all have, and some of us maybe really struggle with this, this thing where we're prone to be critical of others, prone to judge others. We're quick to do that. And that can be a real hard thing. It's a habit,
right?
It's an emotional and mental habit, and it's a spiritual habit. It can come from a lot of different places, so I don't want to like superimpose what I think it is. And it can be broken in a lot of different ways. So I'm not saying this is the only pathway. Sometimes it's frankly self-righteousness, you know, that just thinks that we're better. And I think for me, how I've seen this most broken in my life is really understanding how much I need a Savior.
Amen.
And understand how broken I am, and you know, how deep my sin was and how messed up I was and what Jesus has done and how I still struggle.
Right.
And like knowing that I'm not a perfect Christian, and like I'm going to need that. And I've always said around here, like, let's build a bed of grace, because one day you'll need to fall on it. You know, so we'll need to fall on that at some point when we have a bad day, like when something happens. And so, but if you build one on judgment, that's going to be measured to you.
That's what you're going to end up. Yeah, yeah. That's what you're going to end up falling on. I think going back to that Matthew 7, verse 3, when it's like, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? You know how bad it hurts to have a speck of sawdust in your eye?
Oh, yeah. I thought Camden had one this morning. We were getting eye drops in there, and he was rubbing it. It was driving him nuts. It was like he almost couldn't go to school because of it.
Yeah. How much it hurts when we get even a speck of dust. Forget sawdust. Right. Sawdust is wood, man. Like, but when we get just even a speck of dust or anything, our own eyelash that's meant to, you know, protect our eyes, and it how badly it hurts, and what that must be to someone who is already hurting with their own sin, to then receive judgment on top of that from another sinner, another sinner.
Oh, man. I mean, we've all felt that.
Mm-hmm.
We've all felt that when it was like, Man, I'm trying.
I'm trying so
like,
hard.
Like, I know. Like, you don't even know. You don't even know. And then I see this giant thing sticking out of your eye. I'm like, who are you, hypocrite? You know, it's like.
Like, you actually just hit me with it when you came up to me to be able to get close enough to see the right. speck. Yeah. In my eye, you knocked me over the head with your log. But it is, it's so painful. And especially, like, you were even talking about the drops. Like, I've got the drops in my hand. Like, I'm going and seeking after the Lord and trying to do this. And,
yeah.
like, I don't know. I think of the pain that is. And what that means for us and those things, those wounds that we end up having to heal from that or and other people have to heal from that we inflict even unknowingly. Like,
There's a couple of scriptures that come to mind here and are worth reflection. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We don't judge, but Christ is our judge, and so that each of us may receive what's due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. If we're in Christ, that judgment seat will not be to be feared.
Right.
1 John 4 talks right. about that. We'll have confidence on the day of Christ because his perfect love has cast out that fear. But if we'd just been being super judgmental to people, well, I don't know. We just got to remember God's the ultimate judge.
He is.
And then sometimes we utilize this scripture and we can say, well, aren't we supposed to judge our other brothers and sisters in Christ? And I don't think there's any scriptures that really say that. What it does call us to do is to call into correction, to bring discipline. But it's never this language around judging.
Right.
Judgment is a place of God. He is the judge. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves that you also may be tempted." Watch yourself. Like, don't get yourself caught up in it.
Eyes on your own plate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Eyes on your own plate.
Restore them gently.
And I love that word gently, because what is gentleness but fruit of the Spirit, right? Like, we know that if we are... We know through the only way we are really going to recognize that someone else is caught in sin is because Christ is working in us and we can see what sin is. We can recognize that. We didn't know that when we were dead in our sin. We didn't know what sin was when we were dead in it. So recognizing that a fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, and that when someone is caught in a sin, it is you who live by the Spirit that are going to restore them. It is all of that. It is love. It is patience. It is kindness and all of those things. It is gentleness. I just love the idea of those coming together, that if you're living by the Spirit and you have the fruit of the Spirit, then you're not going to be a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That one is always one that can just call us into check and humility. That's an interesting one for us to close out this this podcast series with, or this kind of this out of context.
This series, this like, don't judge us. We ended on
don't judge us.
We ended on don't judge us.
Yeah, but I think through all of these, there's this connection of the character that God calls us to, of contentment, of His love. Of mercy, of His compassion, but also coming to know His character of love and judgment and holiness that we've been exploring here, and really seeing some dangers, not just of the Christian walk, but of reading Scripture and how we can kind of try to make it something that it's not. But when we really dig into it and realize that what it's really saying, it's far more powerful and beautiful than what we originally believed.
Yeah. I love reading scripture and love it all the more when it's read in context. It's something that you shared when we weren't recording. It's just how cool it is to get to like do these double clicks to look into something and hear, have something that's sort of like an earwig. Like, yeah, I know that. I recognize that. I'm not exactly sure where that comes from. Mm-hmm. But then when you do that and you find yourself in the context, just how much richer the message is than anything that you could find on a poster or a t-shirt or, you know, a quick Instagram post.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been fun. Want you to remember, if you don't remember anything else, remember Jesus is King. and context is queen. So keep reading, keep studying, keep growing, and thank you guys for being on this journey with us.
Yeah, if you have feedback or questions, maybe you're wrestling with a scripture and you're not 100% sure what that means or what the context is, you can always email us at christina@fathom.church, or you can text the keyword fathom to 97,000 and follow the prompts to get connected with us. We would love to hear what you have to say. We'd love to hear more about the conversations you're having around this Out of Context series. We love you guys, and we will see you in the next series. Nailed it.
Love you.